And then some specifically on McNeil Laboratories, some on my biography, McNeil Organization, meaning of the period which to which I refer this committee arrangement, biographical McNeil Consumer, when the McNeil Laboratories was really converted to Consumer, and the scientific group and prescription group went over to McNeil Pharmaceuticals. And they have since merged into Ortho, so it's Ortho McNeil, headquartered in Raritan, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was interest in Budesol, so I brought in a couple of folders on Budesol, and then a half a dozen on Tylenol, such as the symposium of 1995 on the birth of Tylenol, I called it, and then a few catalogs if you want to get into antiquities.
Yes, yes, that's where we live.
No, I was just checking this morning with our archivist who said, you know, we had that, you showed us, the 1922-25 catalog, but you didn't give us one or a copy of it.
No. I don't have a second.
No. What are your thoughts about the ultimate disposition of these archival
I'm very clear, I'm going to be very frank. I have a better idea now with that form, legal form, release of what you want. And my idea is this. I'm willing to go through and edit and change, not the thoughts, but the expressions. I'm embarrassed about the expressions. I don't want that as a record, per se, word for word. I'm not. A few words, only a few, were, let's say, mistaken because of my voice problem, but I can correct and convey accurately and a little more clearly the thoughts. However, I want to eliminate all of the personal stuff at the end. I don't want people. But it would be very easy to go through the Tylenol and the Budesol program. I understand what you want to do is quote, and I would allow people to look at it. I'm not concerned of what you get that they look at it, because I continually get questions about it, and so I'm refreshed about it. One of them from a junior pharmaceutical chemist that came in, and I just sent him last week a copy of your last summer's article. He hadn't seen it. Well, he was asking me who was responsible for the elixir of Tylenol, the tablets. They were two different chaps. I gave him credit in the article because of some confusion, but then he came in later and he knew of one of them well. The other one had left the organization. So there is continual interest, and that's the sort of thing that I would like to very carefully express. Along the lines, I'm not going to change really the thrust.
Yeah. What we'd like to do, Bob, now is ask you some more questions and get your thoughts and words, and then we will integrate that with the present draft and give you a draft that's been further worked through, but then precisely for your final editorial polishing and glossing, so that the final draft has you comfortable with all the words and all the factual queries answered and so on. So if we may, we'd like to just ask you to talk now in
respond to additional
questions for a while. Is that all right?
Yes. I'll be glad to Now that I have an idea as to what I would like as the endpoint available to the public, I will maybe perhaps be abbreviating in my statement, or I may prefer to not to include it. But as long as the tapes are not going to be available, and I don't want to see confusion between tapes and the final.
Yeah.
I assume that's not much of a problem.
The tapes are just a means to an end.
They want to read something and
no one today has time to listen to
it. Well, I spend half my time on letters of agreement, whether they're short or long and legal. And I have one last fight. I was here until 6:30 because it's an amendment, and everything has to be perfect. I'm a perfectionist.
That's good.
You might as well recognize that.
I'm in favor of that.
And the end point would be to have it for the file and available to anyone. And for quotation, I saw that I had the privilege of giving the right to someone to quote, but I wanted to ask, what happens in my demise?
Well, you can either say, in due course, it's all quotable, or you can assign that right, if you wish, to someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your story, it's your transcript, it's your controller of the use. So it's up to you. Can we start? You talked about your maternal grandparents, but you didn't say very much about your paternal grandparents. Can you tell us something about the paternal side of the MacNeil family?
I'd be happy to. My paternal side is Scottish. My grandfather, who started the business, as we call it, the Robert MacNeil name, with the ownership of a drugstore in 1879, was born in this country in 1856, and graduated from the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy in 1876. He was worked under a pharmacist by the name of Ferguson, Jim Ferguson. You call him a preceptor. It was a name in those days. And this is why, you see, I don't
want to take that.
He was an apprentice, but the professional group had a name.
We'll call it an
apprentice at the moment, so we go on. when you get 87, you see, words slip from your vocabulary. You use the common ones. Well, back to my grandfather. His father came from Agadawi Parish in Northern Ireland, Ulster.
Mm-hmm.
They all call it over there, Ulster. And we know who his parents were, but his forebear is a William MacNeil, another Scot, and through family Bible, we are convinced that he was from Barra, the Isle of Barra, in the Hebrides, the Outer Hebrides. And that Bible, unfortunately, was used for Dad's admittance to the St. Andrew Society. I assume you won't use all this detail and whatever you want to add.
It's never been
used. But, in other words, it existed then. photocopied, and out in St. Louis area, and I can't find it.
Yeah.
And I have it, my junior genealogist is looking all over it. We'd like it for all the family.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get it. We think it was given to a church, but the church he belonged to in New Illinois, across the river, and doesn't seem to possess it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Your great-grandfather settled where in the States? Philadelphia?
Grandfather came to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Other branch went west. There were brothers and sisters, but my grandfather was born here. And they were blue stocking Presbyterians, that's why they were so strong. You know what they are? They were very...
No card playing.
No studying on Sunday, I found.
You're allowed to study the Bible.
Members of Bethesda Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
Yeah. And, we went back Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And to Christian Endeavor.
I know
where they are. And yes, they are. When I was in Barra, the Church of Scotland, this is an aside, not for this purpose, Church of Scotland, considers themselves separate from the Presbyterians.
Mm-hmm.
A young chap there said, well, we're Church of Scotland, Presbyterians not.
Yeah.
The same. So we are close to the Scots on the Isle of Barra, and actually my secretary is trying to get the telephone number of the chief in because of somebody visiting and wanting to meet. I mean, we've been that close. They're no help on genealogy. They just welcome anybody. But we're all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
People for a gathering next year, they will have people from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and all over the world.
This will be back on Barra.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be there?
No, I can't travel. My atrial fibrillation and other things. I can't take a chance. I'd like to be.
Your grandfather was.
You pace yourself now. You see, Prince.
Yeah. So your grandfather was apprenticed.
He was a
pharmacist.
Jim Ferguson, who had a store in Kensington, and he worked for him he was apprenticed before he graduated, and then for 3 years afterwards, and then at Front and Howard, he set up his own drugstore.
Do you know when that was?
Yeah, 1879.
1879, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Moved to another, on the corner, another site, and then in 1900, moved to Front and York. And the photograph that you have, remember, of the four-story pharmacy, that's Front and York. That building is still there, minus the top floor. It's not used as a drugstore, but it was in those top stores that they developed, you say, pharmaceutical products like extract of belladonna in enough quantity to service four hospitals as well as a profession. And that was really the beginning of the manufacturing side.
But this was just Robert McNeil, pharmacist.
Well, then it was the firm of Robert McNeil. They always called it the firm of Robert McNeil. And the building, I believe, has the word pharmacy on it, but corporate-wise, it was a firm, not a corporation.
The difference being?
Well, a partnership. In those days, apparently, were quite a few. And Dad became a partner in 1914 when he set up on Reese Street a separate manufacturing site.
Because your father had gone, this is after he'd been to the Wharton School?
No, Dad never had partners. He just grew up in the store, but he took over the manufacturing side because he realized that that for it to grow, it would, and they were selling dispensing physicians from the drugstore but also to supply in quantity. They needed additional facilities, and so he headed, in any question, and I knew my grandfather, he headed the manufacturing. My grandfather remained in the pharmacy and enjoyed being on boards of, in the area. Remember, at that time, and this is only, Kensington was our business section, and you had the Diston Company and the Pearson Box Company, the Stetson Hat Company, which was four blocks square with their own hospital. I worked in it one summer. But Stetson had the feeling he should take care of his community, and the gals from all over the area came in to have their babies, as well as all other problems, and so they thought that was a great place for me to get the experience. So, summer of 37, along with working with Neil, I was over there working in the lab as a chemist, but with full run of the hospital. And in those days, when I say a chemist, a lab chemist.
Yes.
Yes. We were doing it all crudely, but...
Your father, I mean, he was pretty successful at expanding the manufacturing aspect.
Yes, he was successful, and it was expanded for industrial clinics, meaning in the area, and the dispensing physician, not the prescribers, dispensing.
Yes.
That would make a product. If he wanted 5 gallons, it would be delivered in 3 or 4 ounce bottles, depending on what it was, dozen of them, you see. And the doctor would take it out, and bottle was identified, but there was a little tag on for dosage. He'd write the dosage and leave it. This was dispensing stock with World War II.
Yeah.
For numbering. Is this what you...
Yes, let's...
You have to stop the detail because...
We'd like some of this detail. Your father lived where? Where were you born? What section of Philadelphia?
We lived in Germantown.
Yeah.
I was born in that part I did get into.
Yeah.
25 South Street, Bethel, Connecticut, delivered by the family.
So your father's...
My brother was born here.
Yeah. Your father's going to and fro to work by what? Is he in a car? What's he? How does one...
Car. To North Philadelphia, 17th and Cambria. That building was built in 1926. In other words, the Lee Street business developed to the point where they needed larger vats and a bigger organization. So they built in 1926, and I have a copy of that here, and I pulled that out. And it was still known as the firm of Robert McNeil. But then my grandfather died, and he continued running the drugstore.
Till his death?
Until he had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had a stroke, he died in 33. But when he had a stroke, they decided it was time, they built the new building, for him to retire, and they sold the pharmacy. So it was sold before he died. But my grandfather had a cane, I well remember, he was hit hard enough so that it was evident he couldn't continue. And therefore, in 33, he passed away, and then they incorporated as McNeil Laboratories. And there was great discussion whether it should be McNeil or MacNeil. This old Scottish friends still call me MacNia.
Oh, right. Yes. So you know the difference between the Irish and Scots.
No, it's English and American. Well, it's British and American pronunciation is the accenting of the syllables.
All of his friends call me MacNeil.
Yes.
And he had, somewhere they had dropped the A, and he wrote it with a line under, or two lines actually. Even bottles were blown. Two lines under it, and that was to show you it was MacNeil.
Okay.
And the consensus in the business side was that it was too confusing, and so it became MacNeil Laboratories Inc. 1933.
And so this is when it's.
And Dad is the, yes, is the president.
And this is when it's moved away from the pharmacy.
The pharmacy era is over. Dispensing physician was still there.
And what was the size? Your own earliest memories, you were of going there, what, when you were 11 or 12 years old?
Errand boy, yeah. It was felt that, and my brother went. I'm not sure he went the first year, but in a year or two, and being 2 years younger, a year or two after that, he went down. No, it was the idea, a Scottish idea that young ones learned how to work, and the compensation was very low, lower than it would be for an outsider, and that was true later on. I kept a record of my pay. The other side of the check, because it was about half of what the fellows I employed were getting.
What were you officially hired for when you graduated, do you remember?
I don't have that. I dated some of it. It's in file after file at home, and I just pulled out certain things here. But I was what you call office boy. I stuffed envelopes, as I told Mary Ellen, and did that sort of thing. And then the day's mail would have checks, and I took the book and the checks and walked up to the bank before 12 to deliver them to Mrs. Broad and Allegheny. And I did it so many times, it's vivid. But wouldn't dare do it today.
What was
they even boarded up North Philadelphia Station.
Yes.
I used that all the time during the war.
Yeah.
Washington, New York.
What was the size of the company, do you know, around 1933 when it was going to 17th and Cambria? I mean, how many...
Dollar volume, you mean?
Or employees, or how many employees, do you suppose? What?
I might be able to...
Was it 10? Was it 100?
Oh, it was... I can probably get that from one of the booklets.
Interesting to...
Well, let me... Because... this is about the time... Well, I bought these because they simply show the, I thought one of these had, we showed the building at 17th and Cambridge. Four story, that's why, but it was, shipping would have, say, eight, crude stock, five, you know, manufacturing, 30, 40, so 60 to 70, but in that range. Mm-hmm. If you see a building, because I was, we went to it for, well, I know I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and forth for 25 years. 17th and Cambridge. Northwest corner. building was still there a few years ago. The neighborhood is... Well, that wouldn't help me to answer your question. It would only be an approximate size.
This one is later.
That's it.
This is...
That was 26. That's it. That's
okay.
What we're talking about. Four stories.
It says it's 2900 North...
Which is
17th and Cambria. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither address.
Yes. Yes. All right. That's
oh, yeah, I think you gave us photographs of that, too.
Yes.
Right.
That wasn't built for MacNeil, or
yeah.
You built it?
No. Yeah. 26.
Yes.
I didn't.
No. Yeah. Yes. Yes. In 1926.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So between them, your grandfather and your father had, they'd built a very substantial enterprise.
Well, it had to give dad credit. The pharmacy grew, and while the firm still supplied the hospitals as well as physicians, it was the volume was for the dispensing physician. And that's why there were so many, I'm going to show you the number of products.
Was your father...
This was before the war.
Your father's...
Before the FDA.
Particular talent what was his particular talent, would you say, as you reflect
finance.
On it?
He was born in school. He had a good grasp of how much was owed, how much came in, and whether they made a profit, with no concept of what product is more profitable than another. I got into that. But total volume.
Mm-hmm.
And they had different lines, and they did different things. They bought some things already, for instance, injections, already to be injected. But he was careful in doing it. He had an excellent chap who was a doctor of pharmacy who wrote whatever needed to be written, but he had an even better chap by the name of Harry Scholl, who was the head of the control lab, and their strong fort was control. But they had no research. They put these formulas together because that's what the physician wanted.
The formulas were coming from the physician's request.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's an enormous number of this.
1,400.
Which would all be on the shelves in some way.
Well, and the young guys that came along, of course, were delighted that I had the authority, you see, to move and replace. And when I say replace, we had to have something for that same condition for the salesman to sell, because the salesmen were older, and they said when the doctor wants something, he gets it. And many physicians couldn't understand why they couldn't get iron, quinine, and strychnine. That was one of those that I kept talking about, an irrational mixture.
Yes. When you were in your teens, you were going and working at the plant fairly regularly in summers and weekends, were you?
Up until junior and senior year. Summers, no. No, I'm fortunate that mother and dad both wanted me to get outside experience and go away. I punched cattle one summer. Montana, cattle range. 100,000 acre cattle range. Worked in a hotel for 2 years. And then during college, 1 year of college, I was a counselor at camp with two fellows from Germantown Academy who were at this camp, athletically inclined, having played three sports with them. They wanted me, and I became a counselor.
No, I'm just wondering, when do you know? Do you know, you're going to know when it stops?
Yeah, it'll pop out.
And with the inducement of higher pay and a senior counselor didn't have to watch patrol or watch the kids, the head of the activities was baseball and soccer coach at Swarthmore College. And one of the fellows was captain of the baseball team the senior year. The other one was Penn, and we were privileged, so they induced me to come up there, and I was glad in a way because my coursework and everything was such that I'm
so
telling you, not for the record, but I was glad to join them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated in 36.
Where was the camp that you worked with?
Camp Shawnee, 6 miles north of Milford, Pennsylvania. You go up the river, there's a little road that goes up toward...